kaboom!
Hey, what's going on, guys? Ty here, Bench Clear Media team. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk a little bit about what I think is playing out on the hobby kind of from here, really for the next 12 months. We'll just say through the end of the year. Mike did a video, you'll see it above, where he talked about just kind of his projections and some big theories he has for the rest of the year in the hobby. And it got me thinking, and I was actually talking to him about it, about some things that I'm thinking. And I wanted to lay them out there for you, back them with a couple stats, and get your feedback on it. So there's three points I want to make today that I think will play out in the hobby over the next 6 to 12 months. Number one, and this is a really important deal, everyone's been affected by it, the supply chain issues are real, and they are affecting the hobby in a lot of really tangible, kind of hit at the core ways. And look, we've all seen it, from the very simple things like you can't get sleeves and top loaders, to you're not seeing cards printed as much because they're having, you know, supply chain issues with the materials to print some of the chrome cards. But it is impacting the hobby, and you're seeing it not just in the hobby, you're seeing supply chain issues across all kinds of different sectors, whether it's, you know, iPhones and having chip shortages, to Ford and Chevy not being able to get parts for their cars and having, you know, issues there. Supply chain issues are stretching across all kinds of different sectors, and it is absolutely hitting the sports card world and will continue to affect the sports card world going forward. Now, again, we talked about that playing itself out with, you know, supplies, and we're also seeing it play out with the way Topps and Panini and Upper Deck are able to get the film and things like that for their chrome cards. You're also seeing it play out just in the lack of available resources to hire. These organizations like Upper Deck and Panini and Topps, they're trying to hire people and they're having a hard time doing it. PSA is dealing with the same thing. All these grading cards are dealing with the same thing. There is a hiring shortage, and we don't have to get political to talk through this, but there's a lot of reasons for that that are very political, right? There's a lot of money being given out right now by the government, and it's leading to people not taking jobs they normally would have taken. And that does kind of carry over and is affecting some of the organizations in the hobby. Now, how does that affect, how do the supply chain issues really start to affect the hobby? There's a couple things that I think stick out to me. One, I think the base, kind of flagship base versus chrome delta will continue to grow. What we've seen over the last 6 months is that typically you would see like series one, series two update. You would see Hoops Donruss versus Prism. You would see somewhat of a relatively easy and predictable gap between the two. In baseball, you would see almost a premium consistently with flagship over a Topps Chrome, let's say. But over the last 6 months, you've started to see money shift towards the Chrome PSA 10 base rookies versus the flagship PSA 10 base rookies. And there's two reasons for that. One, I think there's a little bit more scarcity around the Chrome cards. And I think that will continue to play itself out. But I also think a lot of the new blood coming into the hobby just didn't carry that same kind of understanding that we should accept the flagship rookie as the kind of the cream of the crop versus the Chrome rookie. And the new blood's gravitated towards the Chrome, and there's been a price increase because of that. So I think because of that, flagship will kind of evolve and take on a new meaning over the next 6 to 12 months. How that plays out will be really interesting to watch. But I do think supply chain issues have in fact kind of have really fed into that delta widening. I think number two, sealed wax is going to be the only certainty because of the supply chain issues. I mean, honestly, you're seeing products that are heavily allocated. You're seeing products that are not being printed as much. They just aren't. Products that were being promised to customers, shops, dealers, you name it. even though after allocations are being promised these products and they're getting fractions of that amount. And so it is being, because of that, products are being distributed wider across customer bases and more people have products and they have less of them. And so you're seeing this kind of weird dichotomy happening where there's less product because of supply chain issues, but it's being split out across more people. The average Joe is probably ripping that product. So because of that, the hoarders and the investors, they aren't able to accumulate as much product and sit on it. And so I think really the result of that is that sealed wax ends up becoming really the only certainty in terms of appreciation and price for modern day kind of 2020, 21, 22 product. So if I'm a betting man, I would say if you want to stay pretty well grounded in the hobby, but also protect your money, like have a good piece of your investment in the hobby in sealed wax from this year, would be my suggestion there. And then I think in terms of just where the supply chain goes, I don't think we see a normal supply chain, at least something that resembles normalcy, until at least next year. I think it's going to be at least all of 2021 before things sort themselves out and we start to see anything get back to somewhat normal, at least what we're used to seeing in the whole supply chain, with supplies being available, with print runs being a little more predictable, with release dates being more predictable. So because of that, you're going to see that just the craziness and variance really, really affect the hobby. So that's number one, supply chain issues. They are real and they are here to stay. Number two.
If you've been in the hobby for more than a day, then you know how fast the sports card market moves. There are now more options than ever to buy, sell, and research your cards. One of the most frustrating hurdles in the hobby is the fees when selling your cards. You know, those other popular marketplaces, the ones with their average seller transaction fee of 10%, the ones that don't have the seller's interest in mind. Wait, what? Who would do that? Well, hold on to your horses. No, not those horses. Welcome to The Card Flip, a place where we want to provide a simple alternative to buying and selling cards. No clutter, just you, graded cards, sealed wax, and the easiest of transactions. So what do you say? Are you in? Great! Welcome to The Card Flip, the seller's marketplace.
I think PSA 10 or gem mints in general, you saw my hybrid grading videos. If you haven't checked those out, check those out above. I think the gem mints are going to grow in scarcity in 2021 and 2022. Here's what can't happen, right? You got the 2018 Topps update, Ronald Acuna, who's just clearing 18,000 PSA 10s. You have the 2019-20 Zion Williamson Prism base just clearing 17,000 PSA 10s. That's just PSA gem mints. 35,000 gem mints between just those two cards. You could point at all kinds of other players. I mean, the modern day players, you just can't, it's not sustainable to continue to have that many gem mints of players, of base cards. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with new releases and maybe fewer of them on the market. And now obviously there's the decision PSA made of not accepting cards for a little bit. So you're going to see a gap in releases. And they had to make that decision. PSA had to make that decision because they couldn't get caught holding the bag, if you will, with decreasing prices. Because what you've seen over the last month with NBA prices is about a 21 to 25% decrease in overall prices. I track about 250 PSA 10 rookie cards in the NBA. And on average, they're down about 25%. And MLB, they're down about 10%. And this is in season, right? These are the two in season sports, down about 10% in the last 30 days. But respectively, the PSA 10 pop reports for both of those are up 8% and 5%. So on average, the pop increase has been up 8%, but the price increase has dropped 25%. that those are not good correlations you want to see. And, you know, PSA is obviously forecasting out and thinking, okay, we're increasing our PSA pop. We have prices dropping or will be dropping. Basic economics, right? Increasing supply, decreasing prices. That's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for further increase in prices. And what PSA did not want to have happen is for them to be caught with 10 million cards in their backlog, 4 million of them, you know, cards where they probably wouldn't have been graded in a normal kind of grading environment. And you have people not paying for them because they're not charging until they send out. And you could have easily seen a situation where you didn't have customers paying for millions or at least hundreds of thousands of cards. And it was a sunk cost for PSA at that point and a massive hit on their bottom line. So they had to make that decision. And I think it's a telltale sign of where they realize they have to protect themselves and also protect the hobby to a certain sense from kind of getting really well overextended. So the response, again, I think will be obviously to cut back on production. But more so, I think we're just going to see a natural pullback on the percentage of gem mints being graded. I think the days of seeing 65 to 75% of modern day cards in the pop report being gems, I think those days are over. I really do. I think if there's any thing to take away from what's happening with hybrid and really, it kind of with Beckett too, with the BGS 10 pristines being really nearly impossible to get now. And with hybrid, with 9.5s extremely hard to get, with the AI grading and 10s being impossible to get, I think we're seeing this new era of gem mints being actually potentially highly sought after and very, very hard to get. And look, the debate, that's a totally separate debate on whether modern day cards should be gemmed at a 50% or less rate. If that should be something we accept, I would love to have that conversation in a live show. Maybe we can do that. But regardless, you can't have 70% gem rates and have an absolute smattering of pops on some of these cards, and you can't move cards. You cannot move the prices at that point. We got 18,000 Acuñas and 17,000 Zions. Like, those are base cards. Like, forget about it, man. Like, there's just not enough buyers out there to support that. So I think point number two, PSA 10 gem rates will drop significantly over the course of 2021. Number three, I think the market as a whole, sports card market as a whole, corrects itself by upwards of 40% by the end of the year. I think we see another 40% pullback in prices across the board, across sports. Again, there's going to be anomalies. There's going to be players that do well. There's players that I think right now are no-brainers to put your money in. Shohei Ohtani, hint, hint. Put your money in Shohei Ohtani. Put your money in Michael Porter Jr. Like, those guys, they are rising stars, and they have a lot of momentum behind them. Like, though, you're going to see those players, of course, all over sports. But as a whole, I think you're going to see a pullback of upwards of 40%. And my reasoning behind that is it's everything we've already talked about. There's a lot of kind of macroeconomic conditions that are finally settling themselves out, and you're going to start seeing things go back to pre-2020 expectations, I think. And a good way to measure kind of where we could go and kind of the situation we're in is to look at seller and buyer activity on eBay. Now, look, I will be the first to admit there is a lot of great new platforms to use, and eBay is not the only platform to really look at metrics from. Go to thecardflip.com. That's my favorite place to go to sell and buy slabs and buy wax. You should obviously be adding that to your bookmark pages. Go to StarStock, you know, all these places that are new alternatives for buying and selling. But eBay is still, you know, the status quo when it comes to metrics in the hobby. So Here's some interesting stats for you. I tracked a few of the top players and I looked at their PSA 10 rookie cards. So year over year, I took a 90-day period last year at this time versus this year at this time, trailing 90 days. And there are 40% more sellers selling the PSA 10 rookie cards than there were this time last year. So basically 40%, so upwards of, you know, a 50% increase in the number of sellers. Now, I think it's important because think about that in terms of, your own market locally, right? If you added if you have two Walmarts and you add a third Walmart, or if you add four card shops and all of a sudden you have six card shops in your city, right? It saturates the market and you have more competition. But you have to also measure the other metric, and that is the number of transactions or the number of buyers. And here's what's telling to me. That same 90-day period versus this 90-day period, the seller activity is up less than 5% on the PSA 10 rookie cards. So you're seeing a basically flat number of transactions with PSA 10 rookies for those same rookie cards versus the same set of rookie cards. And I tracked Trout, I tracked Acuna, I tracked Zion, a couple others I put in there just to make it, you know, a very wide base of cards that I was tracking. So you have basically a flat number of seller or buyer transactions and a 40% increase in sellers, number of sellers. Now, here's the real kicker. Retail wax. This is crazy. So I looked at a couple products, 2020 versus 21. So I looked at retail SKUs, so blaster boxes or retail boxes, and I did just a comparison, 60-day comparison between that same time frame, year over year. There is a nearly 500% increase in the number of sellers, 5x number of sellers selling wax on eBay this time versus last year. 5x. So you think about that, right? And again, to the point of the number of transactions are up less than 10%. So you have basically the same number of buys taking place, the same number of transactions, but you have five times as many sellers on eBay competing and driving prices. And that's gone exponentially higher the last 6 months. If you look at a bar chart timeline, you would see it just steadily rising over the last 6 months. That is a recipe for overall just declining prices, because you're gonna have a lot of, and again, we could have said this 6 months ago when it was 2x, right? And said, okay, what's the tipping point before you start to see massive pullbacks? And you've seen it the last month. We already talked about it. You're going to continue to see it. There is just too much competition and there's not enough buyers to come in. Sellers are far, far outweighing buyers. And I think you're going to see that really start to weigh heavy on the hobby and prices over the next 6 months, both in terms of wax and in terms of PSA 10s, especially as those PSA 10s start to filter back in, and people that submitted hundreds of cards and now have a bill of $4,000 of PSA 10, they're like, oh my gosh, I got to sell these. You're going to see just a massive watering down of prices within the hobby. And it's going to be a buyer's market through the rest of 2021. I am extremely convinced of that. Glad to see a lot of COVID-19 restrictions and all that stuff kind of being lifted and things somewhat go back to normal with people's jobs. That's great to see. The correlating effect to that is you start to see a lot of life as we used to know it in the hobby kind of coming back full swing too. And so those are my three quick thoughts about what's going to happen within the hobby the rest of 2021. I'd love to know your thoughts below. And again, go check out thecardflip.com, a great and cheap way to sell your slabs or to sell your sealed wax or supplies. Have yourself an awesome week. See ya.